Friday, February 16th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense, at least, hopefully, and maybe a little bit of sarcasm, and we are happy to have you with us today as we finish out another work week. Happy Friday to you. I hope that maybe we helped you get through your week just a little. I know sometimes these weeks drag, but I hope that we were able to help you maybe as you listen on your way to or from work, or maybe even listen at work. Again, those listeners are sometimes my favorite listeners. The fact that you're getting paid to listen to The Daily Dose, it's always just something a little bit special about that. If you would like to contact the show, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you don't agree with something that I've said. Far be it from me to be divisive at any time. But maybe you have something that you would like to share. Maybe you just need some advice. Maybe you need some dating advice. We would be happy to help you out. Feel free to hit us up over here at Daily Dose Sports. We've got a lot to get to today. You know, we do have a little bit of breaking news, and we do have to look forward to the weekend in sports. You know, every single Friday, we take a look, try to slim down some of the things that are out there in the weekend of sports and give you some things to watch. And we even make picks and tell you who we think is going to win some of these contests that are out there. I'm not encouraging anyone to go bet. Just saying that if you did, and you listen to The Dose, and you follow our picks, eh, you're probably going to make a little bit of money. I'm just throwing that out there. Plus, as we do every single weekend, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. It is a busy, busy Friday here. First off, some news coming out in the world of college basketball. U.S. District Court Judge Lewis Kaplan on Thursday denied a motion to dismiss those federal criminal charges against 3 of the 10 men arrested for their alleged roles in the FBI's 2-year investigation into that college basketball corruption. Attorneys representing former Adidas executives James Gatto and Merle Code, as well as former sports agent Christian Dawkins, argued in U.S. District Court on Thursday morning that what their clients are accused of doing doesn't constitute a federal crime. Now, what these guys are accused of doing is allegedly funneling money from Adidas to the families of high-profile recruits to ensure that those players would sign with Adidas-sponsored schools, and then that they would sign with Adidas and with certain sports agents and financial planners if they were to make it professionally. These guys are saying, hey, that's not a federal crime. Now, there has been growing speculation recently that since nothing new has come forward on this case, maybe these charges would be dropped. Maybe these charges would be thrown out. It kind of starting to look like maybe the feds don't have the evidence. We haven't heard anything coming out, right? I keep waiting. Like every day, I get up checking the newspapers, looking at some of the online sports sites and saying, okay, do we have anything new on this thing? We heard about this right as the season was starting, and now nothing has come up. But now, with this district court judge saying, no, we're not going to dismiss these federal charges, I'm looking at this and saying, wait a second, not so fast. Because here was the chance for a judge to look at the evidence and say, look, you don't have the juice on these guys. You don't have the evidence on these guys. There's no way this is going to work. Lewis Kaplan didn't do that. He denied that motion. Now, I don't know where this is going, but that tells me that it's not going to be dismissed. This is going to keep going further and further until something comes up. This is going to be fascinating to watch as it keeps going because it doesn't look like it's going away. We are going to see some very, very interesting people having to go out in court and defend themselves. It's not going to be pretty, but it is going to be fascinating to watch. Hey, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald announced yesterday that he will be returning for his 15th season. As new Cardinals coach Steve Wilks announced Fitzgerald's intentions during an interview on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM on Thursday morning. Fitzgerald's future, it's been the topic of speculation since last offseason. He didn't outright address whether or not he was done. He hadn't quite said. And there were questions concerning Fitzgerald's future after the Cardinals' 8-8 season when former coach Bruce Arians retired and then quarterback Carson Palmer also retired the next day. So I think everyone was kind of thinking, yeah, I think Fitzgerald's probably next. And now he says he is coming back, which good for Larry Fitzgerald. I never want to be in the business of telling guys when they should or shouldn't retire. That is a personal choice. That is totally up to them. But here is the one caveat I would throw in there. I have to assume that the Cardinals have assured Larry Fitzgerald they are going to be going after a new quarterback in free agency, right? Like, they had to do that, didn't they? There is no way Larry Fitzgerald is agreeing to come back to play with Drew Stanton and Blaine Gabbert, is there? Please, please, please tell me Larry Fitzgerald got some sort of, I don't know, verbal agreement that Arizona is going to pursue someone that can actually throw in the ball. Please tell me Larry Fitzgerald invoked the Tim Brown clause here. You don't want to get stuck in your last year or two with nobody at quarterback. For Larry Fitzgerald's sake, I truly do hope that Arizona has made some sort of commitment to him to say, hey, we're going to go get a good quarterback to throw you passes in your final years. I'm just hoping for his sake they do that. Plus, we don't want to lose this clip ever.
Larry, 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 Larry. Fitzgerald, el héroe del partido.
That's a phenomenal clip. That's something that never goes away. Larry Fitzgerald, class guy, very, very quality wide receiver. I just wish Arizona would surround him with a halfway decent quarterback. That'd be kind of nice. Hey, coming back, we are going to be looking at the coming weekend in sports and let you know which events just might be worth your time to watch. You know, it is actually a decent weekend of sports. There are some things for you to watch. Plus, how did we do on our picks last week? Well, to be honest, I don't really want to talk about it. You know, we do this every single week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend because, like I've told you, you have a lot of things to do. You've got errands to run. You've got sometimes jobs to work, kids to deal with, stuff to clean up around the house, whatever it might be. So what we do here on the Daily Dose on Fridays is we keep you up on the best things to tune in for. That way you can kind of adjust your schedule as you listen here on this Friday. You can kind of sit there and say, okay, Saturday I might want to look at this, Sunday I might want to look at this, a couple things out there. Now, not only are we previewing the games, but we are also picking the games and seeing how we do with our picks. So last week, I only made 6 picks. There wasn't a whole lot going on last weekend. I just made 6 picks. And I went 3-3. Okay, it was not our finest hour. All right already. But understand this, we have won a lot more than we've lost here at The Dose. So, just throwing it out there, if you want some free money, enjoy these picks. Always remember, gamble at your own risk. It's not easy to make these picks to get them right. You don't go to Vegas and win money, but we try to do it for you. We're in the business of helping people. So, if you are interested in that sort of thing, not saying gambling or anything, maybe just for, you know, recreational purposes, get ready to make some serious money. And if you win, remember we sent you. And if we don't, forget you ever heard anything from us. Remember, all times given are Mountain Time Zone, so adjust as needed. Okay, now don't forget, we have the Daytona 500 this weekend. We have Winter Olympics this weekend. We have the NBA All-Star festivities going this weekend. So we do have some different things to watch. A lot of stuff that you just might want to clear some time on your schedule for. Starting on Friday, Friday's a little bit different of a night this week. At 7 p.m., we have the NBA Rising Stars game. You have the USA versus the world. Rookies and sophomores basically not playing defense and finally getting some playing time. And for a lot of them, they don't usually get any playing time. So it's brand new to them. I don't know if this is anything good to watch. I would lean towards no. It's probably terrible to watch. I don't really want to see these guys play. I certainly don't want to see them out there not playing any defense whatsoever. So I don't know if it's really worth your time to watch, but NBA Rising Stars, you can at least have it on, whatever. Let's get to some better things on Friday night. At 9 p.m., we actually have a Pac-12 matchup in women's college hoops. Told you before, you might have females in your house. They are sick of watching men's sports all the time. Turn on the women's game. Number 7 UCLA goes to number 15 Oregon State. Hey, the UCLA Bruins are one of the hottest teams in the country. They've won 10 games in a row, and the last time they saw Oregon State, they smacked them by 30. Oregon State has gotten better since then. They're starting to score some points. So this should be a pretty decent women's college basketball game. Oregon State's now 19-6. They've lost just once at home all season. UCLA, obviously the favorite. I would take UCLA on the road. I think they're a little bit better team, but not a bad game there if you want to tune in to some women's college hoops. Now, here's something a little bit different. And remember, you do have the Olympics going on Friday night as well, so you could tune into that. But on ESPN, or ESPN Deportes or something, there is a decent lightweight fight on Friday night between Raimundo Beltran and Paulus Moses for the vacant WBO lightweight title of the world. Now, you might sit there and say, I don't know either one of those guys. And I understand that. You might not. But Raimundo Beltran was actually the sparring partner for Manny Pacquiao. Both of these guys are a little bit older. Beltran's 36. Moses is 39. But it might be a pretty decent technical fight if you wanted something a little bit different on your Friday night. Okay, moving forward to Saturday, and I'm going to warn you ahead of time, Saturday and Sunday, we have some really good college basketball. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Don't say you didn't know, because now you know. Now, on Saturday, we do have the Olympics running all day, including what we should see is the USA versus Russia in men's hockey. We'll see how that turns out. Both of those teams struggling just a little bit to get started in the Olympics. But just kind of keep in mind, you do have Olympics on all day. Now, let's get to the real games. At 2:30, you have number 3 Villanova versus number 4 Xavier. Yes, that is must-see TV right there. That is very, very good college basketball this weekend. You know, Villanova has been banged up lately, but if you haven't seen Villanova's Jalen Brunson play, do yourself a favor and watch this kid's game. He might be the best player in the country. I know Trae Young gets a lot of attention, and I understand it. Very, very exciting. But I'm telling you, Jalen Brunson might be the best player in college basketball. Nova, like I said, though, is struggling a little bit. Xavier is playing very, very well lately. They are coming off of beating Butler and Creighton back-to-back. Those are two good teams. I will take Xavier at home. Wouldn't surprise me to see Nova go into Xavier, though, and steal one. That should be a very, very good game. At 4 p.m., we've got another good game. The number 20 West Virginia Mountaineers go to Kansas to face the number 13 Jayhawks. The Jayhawks have some really good wins on their resume, and they also have some really bad losses on their resume, including a 16-point loss to Baylor last weekend. Cannot figure out Kansas. I think they just don't have the depth. I think they don't have the depth, especially in their front court. They just don't always make sense. Meanwhile, they get West Virginia, a team that is struggling as of late. Mountaineers have actually lost 6 of their last 9, and it doesn't make any sense because they beat Oklahoma, but then they lose to Oklahoma State. I cannot figure out what in the world West Virginia is doing. You know, Bob Huggins has his work cut out for him because it's starting to look like, just maybe, those Big 12 teams are starting to figure out how to attack West Virginia's pressure. He will still be trying to put that pressure on against Kansas on Saturday. I would take Kansas at home, but this should be a pretty decent game. Then at 6 p.m., we have NBA All-Star Saturday kicking off. We've got the Skills Challenge, we've got the 3-point contest, and we have the dunk contest. Remember when the dunk contest used to be like the thing you wanted to see? Now I think I'd rather see the other two. In the Skills Challenge, we do have some interesting competitors because there are a couple guys in here that I don't have any idea how they'll do. Remember in the Skills Challenge, there's a little bit of shooting, there's a little bit of passing, there's a couple things you've got to do, you got to have some speed. Check out some of the competitors in the Skills Challenge. You've got Philadelphia 76ers big man Joel Embiid. You've got Buddy Hield. You've got Lou Williams, Andre Drummond, Al Horford, Lauri Markkanen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jamal Murray. If I had to pick, and I don't think it makes any sense, I think Jamal Murray is the guy that should win that, maybe Lou Williams. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see Joel Embiid win the thing, though. He's just that guy. Like, he just might go out and win it. Skills Challenge won't be bad. I'm more interested in seeing the NBA 3-point contest. We've got the Rockets' Eric Gordon. We've got the Suns' Devin Booker. We've got the Warriors' Klay Thompson. We've got the Wizards' Bradley Beal. The Miami Heat have Wayne Ellington in it. The Toronto Raptors have Kyle Lowry. Tobias Harris from the Los Angeles Clippers is in it. And Paul George from the Oklahoma City Thunder is in the 3-point contest. You know, whenever I look at these 3-point contests, I always look at one thing, because you are shooting a ton of shots from distance. And I always look at who the bigger guys are that don't have to use as much legs to get that shot up there. Because if you're a jump shooter, by the end of these contests, you start wearing out and you run out of legs and pretty soon everything's flat. Because of that, I might take someone like Paul George. I think he's a bigger guy. I think he can extend that shot up there without having to jump quite as much to get that shot off. He might be a good pick, as good as those guys are, because Gordon, Booker, Thompson, those are great, great shooters. But someone like a little bit bigger, like a Bradley Beal or a Paul George, I would say has a little bit of an advantage just because of their size. We do have the NBA dunk contest on Saturday night. Competitors in that, we have Victor Oladipo, Donovan Mitchell, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr. Victor Oladipo is probably the only name out there that anybody knows, but my pick would probably be Mavericks guard Dennis Smith Jr. He is explosive. If you haven't seen him, he might make this worth your time to actually watch. Okay, that's Saturday. Sunday, again, we've got the Olympics all day. We should have a women's hockey semifinal. We'll see if Team USA could make it to something like that. But it is Sunday, and there is plenty to watch on Sunday. You're going to have to make a decision early, though. Keep the remote handy. You're going to want to flip back and forth. Because at 11 o'clock, we've got number 8 Ohio State going to number 22 Michigan in college basketball. Hey, has anyone done a better job than Ohio State's head coach, Chris Holtmann? He stepped in for Thad Matta and has the Buckeyes in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten. Who saw that coming? I don't think anyone expected Ohio State to be here. Meanwhile, Michigan has won 4 of their last 5, and John Beilein is actually getting his boys to play defense. We always expect good offense out of Beilein's teams. He's got them playing really, really good defense. Ohio State at Michigan, we know what a great rivalry that is. 11 a.m., that should be fun. I would take the Buckeyes going on the road, but that will be tough. Also, at 11 a.m., we've got another very, very good college basketball game. We've got number 12 Duke going to number 11 Clemson. You know, Duke has been struggling, but they managed to pound both Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech in their past 2 games. Of course, most of the problem for the Blue Devils, they start at the defensive end, but they can still outscore people. And big man Marvin Bagley should be back from his knee injury. Meanwhile, keep an eye on the Clemson Tigers. They've got as much talent as anyone in the country. Their front court is insanely athletic. This should be a very, very good game. Clemson is coming off a 2-point loss to Florida State earlier this week. Bouncing back against Duke is going to be tough. I will take Clemson, but only because it's home. Should be an entertaining game. At 12:30, got something a little different for you. We've got the Daytona 500 as NASCAR gets started. Alex Bowman is sitting on the pole in Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s old ride, but this field is stacked with talented drivers. So, here's the thing. Maybe you're not a racing fan. I totally get it. Invite a few friends over, put every number of every car in a hat. Everyone pitches in a few bucks. You draw the numbers out. Winner takes the pot. And now you suddenly have a rooting interest. See, everybody has a good time. Now understand this. NASCAR really wants close races. They are not above manipulating late yellow flags, bunching everyone up, see if they can generate a few wrecks. Daytona will probably be very, very interesting. Like, it should be a pretty tight, close race because that's just how NASCAR makes sure it happens. If I had to pick someone, I might go with someone like Denny Hamlin, who is starting up front as well. But that's a huge field to try to pick. At 6 p.m., we have the NBA All-Star Game, Team Steph versus Team LeBron. Do we care about this game? No, we do not. Now, if I was going to pick one of these teams, would I take Team Steph or would I take Team LeBron? You know, these All-Star games used to be good. They actually used to be good because you used to have a lot of those A-type personalities that went out there and said, hey, I'm the big dog here. I'm going to lead. You know what's interesting? I don't know if I see either Steph Curry or LeBron James as that alpha dog that's going to go out there and say, everybody follow me, I'm leading. I don't think that's the case. I think both of them probably very, very happy to push that off to someone else. I would take Team LeBron because Russell Westbrook is on his team. And I truly believe that nobody's going to really play hard. Russell Westbrook will. He would try to win anything. He would kick his grandma down a flight of stairs to win at Monopoly. I honestly believe that. And because of that, I would take Team LeBron. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, like I said, it is NBA All-Star Weekend this week in Los Angeles. Now, I don't pretend to be excited for this event, but the All-Star Weekend is not for me. It's for kids, mostly. Well, and sponsors, I guess. But kids want to see the game. They want to see the dunk contest. I don't. And if you're out there listening, I would imagine you probably don't care that much either. But it used to be that we did care about the NBA dunk contest. Why did we care about it? And what were the best dunk contests that we have seen? Just a quick reminder, if you've got some shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme is only going to be available for a few more days. It's called Protect. It features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But if you go over to Loot Crate, you can find nearly any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, I swear, I'm not trying to go all get off my lawn here. I'm really not. There is a very real reason that we don't care so much about the NBA dunk contest anymore. And I wish that we did. I really do. Because as a kid, I used to count down the days until NBA All-Star Weekend. I cared way more about the dunk contest as a kid than I ever did about the All-Star game itself. But see, here are a few problems with the current dunk contest. First off, there's no stars. Look at the lineup this year. We just talked about it. Victor Oladipo, Donovan Mitchell, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr. Oladipo is the only participant who even gets playing time in real games. Can you get some kind of star to participate? Let's say Dennis Smith goes out and just dominates this thing. Great. Do you know what most people will say after it? Who's he? Who does he play for? Never heard of the guy. Second, there's no competition. There's no rivalries. They would never do it. But let's just say that Kevin Durant and LeBron James decided to be in the dunk contest this year. Would you watch? Of course you would. So would I. And if they went to the finals, we would be glued to it. And then here's the other thing. Can we just get a little creativity to the dunks and the format? I don't want to watch a bunch of missed dunks. I really don't. I don't want to see you jump over the front bumper of a car or whatever. I just want to see your power, your creativity, your explosion getting off the floor. I don't need like props. I need players I know. I need good competition and I need some really good dunks. So this week on the Daily Dose Top 5, we are going to count down the best dunk contests that we have seen. And notice this. Notice what they all have in common. Number 5 on our list. Five. Back in 1976, yes, I'm going way back, the ABA hosted the final All-Star game in that league's history. It was held here in Denver at McNichols Sports Arena on January 27, 1976. This time, the league abandoned the usual East versus West format that it would usually use, and instead, they had the league's first place team at the All-Star break play the ABA All-Stars. That isn't so great. But at halftime of this game, they put on the first ever dunk contest. Contestants were Julius Erving, David Thompson, Artis Gilmore, George Gervin, and Larry Kennan. Dr. J, of course, beat out David Thompson with his vintage dunk from the free throw line, and the idea from a dunk contest was born. But again, notice, we had some stars there. We had some competition there. We had Julius Erving versus David Thompson. That's a pretty good matchup. That's number 5 on our list. Number 4. Now this, we have to fast forward clear to 2000, because by 2000, we were starting to become disinterested in the dunk contest completely. In fact, they didn't even have a dunk contest in 1999. But in 2000, this one got our attention because we saw who was going to be in it. Ricky Davis, Steve Francis, Larry Hughes, and then Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Jerry Stackhouse. They were going to compete for the dunk title in Oakland. okay, yeah, you've got my attention. We have some names that we know. And right from the beginning, you could sense the 2000 dunk contest was different because Vince Carter came out with a 360 windmill and he brought the ball down to his shoes before he put it down. You could just feel 2000 was going to be something special. It would end up being Vince Carter versus Tracy McGrady. Vince Carter breathed some life back into the dunk contest. And do you know how? With great dunks. No props, no motorcycles, no helicopters, great dunks. Vince Carter wins the 2000 dunk contest with an alley-oop that he took down between his legs.
You know what he's doing, Danny? The bounce, he's going to catch it, put it between his legs, and dunk it. So he wants it low to do that. And if he does this, like I said, 10 is not enough.
Why doesn't he save this one, though? Why doesn't he, unless he's got two or three more in his bag?
Yeah, and keep in mind, Vince Carter also has a few stitches in that left hand. He incurred an injury dealing with weights in the weight room, so he stitched up in the left hand doing all this.
Oh, it did not come. It's over! It's over, ladies and gentlemen!
That is number four on our list. Moving on to number three. In 1985, the dunk contest took place in Indianapolis, and it probably has more name recognition than any dunk contest ever. Look at the lineup from 1985. Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Clyde Drexler, Larry Nance, who won the contest the year before. Also toss in a guy named Terrence Stansbury, Orlando Woolridge, and Daryl Griffith. That's a very, very good lineup. The problem with that lineup, and not that it wasn't very good, but Dr. J was 35 by this point. And Michael Jordan was just a rookie wearing gold chains and going out and competing in his warm-ups. So the contest wasn't quite as great as all those great names. But Dominique Wilkins would beat Michael Jordan on a two-hand windmill, and he actually scored two straight 50s in the final. Now, I will say this. If you go back and you watch the 85 dunk contest, Terrence Stansbury actually had a really, really underrated dunk in this one. He went from just inside the free throw line, and he did a 360 like it was nothing. Like he made it look so easy. But 1985 was a solid contest, and it set the stage for what was to come a little bit later. Moving on to number two. It was just the next year. Michael Jordan had hurt his foot. He couldn't participate. So it would just be Dominique Wilkins rolling to another title in Dallas, right? Not quite. Because Dominique would be there, and so would Terrence Stansbury. We also got Gerald Wilkins, Jerome Kersey, Paul Pressey, Roy Hinson, and Terry Tyler. Yes, old man Terry Tyler was there. Dominique Wilkins would roll to the final. But this year, he got upset by another guy that was actually on his team because 5'6", Anthony Spud Webb, a hometown Dallas kid who was a teammate of Dominique's in Atlanta, he just looked amazing dunking. It looked like Spud Webb was riding up in an invisible elevator. He just had so much lift. So it would be Spud Webb that would take the title home, as every dunk he tried just came off perfect. He just did everything. And they weren't that spectacular dunks, but he's such a small guy. It blew everyone away. We hadn't seen a guy that small dunk like Spud Webb did. And in 86, Spud Webb winning it set the stage for a rematch between Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins that would come 2 years later. Yes, our number one entry on our Daily Dose Top 5 was in 1988. Now Michael Jordan was back after winning it in 87 in Seattle. Dominique was back after missing the 87 contest with an injury. In 1988, Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins put on a show. It's the best I've ever seen. It was in front of Jordan's hometown Chicago fans. The lineup was solid. Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb was back, Clyde Drexler, Jerome Kersey, Greg Cadillac Anderson, and Otis Smith were all on the card. Of course, Jordan and Wilkins put on a show, ended up in the finals. Now, people are going to say, and I understand it, that Dominique Wilkins got a hometown call when he only scored a 45 on his final two-handed windmill. But they forget that Michael Jordan got a horrible 47 on his second dunk of the final two. The judges weren't great. Bottom line was this. They had a dunk off. They had a playoff after everyone completed. Michael Jordan needed a 48 to tie or a 49 to win. And he went to the other end of the court to get it.
He needs It's a 48 to tie, a 49 to win. The defending slam dunk champion, Michael Jordan. If he were to win this, he'd be the only two-time winner in the four-year slam dunk competition. Larry Nance won it. Dominique, Spud Webb, Jordan, and Michael is backing all the way to the middle of the backcourt. Now he's going to the baseline. Well, the crowd lets you know what they think of it. Now we will wait for the judges. A 48 ties, a 49 wins.
Michael Jordan score 50.
They gave him a 50. They gave Jordan a 50. He defends his championship.
Jordan wins the 1988 dunk contest. It was the best dunk contest I have ever seen. Now, I don't know if the contest will ever come back and be what it was. But don't tell me that it can't. You just need to get some stars and you just need to get some creative dunkers to get back into it. Go get a sponsor. Go get a huge purse to put on the dunk contest and you just might get some stars to come back to it. I wish it would happen because it used to be a lot of fun. Hey, it is Friday and we made it through another week. I want to thank all of you for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I truly do appreciate it and I hope that you are enjoying it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. We do appreciate it. Hey, there will be no show on Monday. We will shut it down for President's Day, but we will be back better than ever on Tuesday. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.